Amen. Amen. Isn't he good? All the time. Amen. Today's a little different. As Alan said, we're deviating, if you will, from our message series in Colossians to celebrate those graduates. And I super appreciate, I think Alan enjoyed saying the word scum a bit more than I intended in our passage this morning. If you didn't get that, it's Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 27. I want to sort of share this morning, again, a little bit different as we deviate from that message series. I want to take a moment to especially, I was writing this message to speak to our graduates as we celebrate them today. But in looking back, I believe this message is actually for all of us. It is for all of us in the church family and followers of God. The title of today's message is Faithful to the Call. You know, in life there are certain monumental sort of days that will always be something that we remember. Now some of you are on Facebook and you post things so that you'll remember when it comes up as your memories, but the days that you graduate high school, it's amazing, doesn't matter how long ago it was. Some of y'all still want to share the story of graduating high school because you're just so surprised you did. Amen, right, Frank? Some of us got in, praise the Lordy. Not magna, nothing. We remember the day we started college after we successfully survived Frog Week. The day you got married, right? That was a monumental day. And the day that your children were born. And I know, I'm not there yet. And I can wait. Those grandkids, those are all special monumental days, but for those of us who follow Jesus and, as the scripture says, because of that, have been born again, we remember a day when our life was changed eternally. Amen? You didn't achieve sinless perfection, right? But a change takes place when a lost soul meets a loving Savior. As the old hymns says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought when since Jesus came into my heart. This passage that we're looking at in Luke chapter 5 this morning, beginning in verse 27, describes the call of Levi. Now Jesus chose him to be one of his 12 disciples. And I want you to understand, this was a real great honor. There were lots of people who followed Jesus, don't miss this, but only 12 were chosen to be disciples. Now Levi, some of you are going, I don't know Levi. Where's that? Pastor, I'm not sure where you're reading from. Better known to most of us as Matthew. Oh, that guy. Right? He was a tax collector. All right, for the Roman government. That's his backstory. And understand this, those tax collectors for the Roman government were among the most hated people in those days. Many of them, because they were corrupt and they were considered to be extortionists. And see, if Rome decided, for some reason, decided to levy a 5% tax, the tax collector could also charge more. He could charge 10% or even 50% or sometimes even more. And what they would do is they would keep the difference for themselves. Now, we are not told in Scripture, nor is it implied in anywhere in Scripture, that Matthew was a dishonest tax collector. So don't hear me say that. Just understand, as a whole, it's kind of like, how many of you know somebody who works for UPS or drives for Amazon? Anybody, you know somebody who's an Amazon driver? Does that mean all Amazon drivers drive the same? Don't answer that. Yes, they kind of sort of do. Do all of their backup horns have that really ugly sound? Yes, at least on the trucks they do. But to say that every tax collector was dishonest would not be necessarily proven true, but we're not told that Matthew was. He may have been completely honest in the way that he did his business. Whether he was a stereotypical tax collector or not, understand this, Matthew was still a sinner in need of a Savior. The problem is he didn't know it. But this would be the day in his life that we're reading in Scripture here that would change his life trajectory forever. You see, on that day, Jesus passed by, stopped, and called him to follow him. Now, this very simple invitation that I want us to look at this morning changed his life forever. And I want us to examine some things that happened here in this scripture on that day when Matthew met Jesus. And as we look at the events of that day, I think we're going to see what happens when we are, in fact, any of us, all of us, faithful to the call. So if you've got your note page, I want you to follow along with me. If you're online, we'll post that for you. And thank you, Ms. Satara. She'll keep up with that. Whether you're on any of those channels, she'll post those so you can write them down. But I just want this to be something that lives beyond. And again, since we didn't necessarily have graduates here to walk, you can share this with them. The very first thing I want us to notice this morning is clearly in the scripture there is an invitation to follow Jesus. Very clearly. Don't miss it. Don't mistake it. Don't misunderstand it by any means. See, being a tax collector, receiving a kind word from people was probably for Matthew a very rare occasion. And he certainly, see, I mean, Levi wasn't, Matthew, he wasn't expecting this long-awaited Messiah to just sort of call his name. And absolutely, let's just be clear, he was not expecting an invitation that he was about to receive. So I want us to notice a couple things about this invitation to follow Jesus that's right here in the scripture. And we'll do it this way. First of all, we need to know, of this invitation, this kind of this idea is where Jesus will find you. Where Jesus comes in, steps in, and finds us. Where will he find you? Where did he find me? Where will Jesus find you to offer you the invitation he has? Now, the Bible proves over and over again that Jesus will come to you where you are. And so Jesus found Matthew at his tax booth. Perhaps he was counting his money. Maybe he was reconciling his daily receipts. It doesn't really say, but it seems that Matthew was really dedicated to his job. He was faithful to the task that he had been assigned to. But understand, he was just an ordinary working man. In much the same way as Andrew or Peter or James and John were just common fishermen. See, Jesus did not seek out the scribes and the theologians of the day. He didn't seek out the religious elite. He was choosing ordinary men who were faithful to the tasks that they were already engaged in. My friends, he has continued to do that throughout the history of church. God, my friend, is still calling and using common, ordinary people every single day who will just be faithful. People who would never have, people never, ever, ever would have guessed that someone like Matthew would be chosen as a disciple for the Messiah. But make no mistake, Jesus had a plan for this man. And they're there at his tax booth, Jesus called him and simply said, follow me. So where Jesus will find you is important to this invitation. The second aspect of this is why Jesus would choose you. Why would Jesus even want to pick us, pick you, pick Levi? I mean, that's a question every single child of God has asked at some point or another, I can guarantee you. Why would God choose someone like me? And there were a lot of people following Jesus in the early days. And Jesus began to work some miracles, and then the crowd just got bigger and bigger. And in this very chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus, he cleanses a leper. He healed a man who was sick with palsy. So why didn't Jesus choose one of those people who were already following him? I'll be honest with you, that's a question I can't answer. But I can tell you why Jesus chose Matthew. He chose him because he saw something in him that was special about him. Jesus didn't see what everybody else in the world saw. He didn't see a corrupt tax collector. Jesus didn't see what Matthew was. My friends, don't miss this. Jesus saw what he could be. He saw someone who would be beneficial to the work that he had ultimately come as the Messiah to accomplish. No one else may have even cared about this man, but Jesus saw something special in him. Why would Jesus choose someone like you or me? Why would the Son of God want to call your name or my name? I will tell you, my friend, he does so because he sees something in you that's special. And he chooses you because he didn't see what you were. He sees what you can be. And he chooses you and he calls your name because he loves you. And when Jesus called Matthew, he already had great plans for that boy's future. And the absolute same is true for you this morning. Jesus calls your name, my friend, because he already has great plans and purpose for your life. Now, there's a third aspect of this invitation that we really need to see. Not just where Jesus will find you, not just why Jesus would choose you, but I think it's important right here to see how Jesus will call you. Now, you know, this is the thing that we deal with as pastors and ministers all the time, but I want you to understand, Jesus wasn't calling a pastor here for Matthew. Wasn't. He was calling an ordinary man to step in and do something for his kingdom, what Jesus does all the time. But how? How did Jesus do this? See, Matthew's story kind of shows us that Jesus calls us, I don't want you to miss this, friend, personally. When Jesus saw Matthew, he just simply said to him, "Follow me." That was the invitation. "Matthew, I want you to leave this life and I want you to follow me and I'm going to give you a brand new life." Friend, that's exactly how Jesus calls people today. In Matthew 16, verse 24, the scripture says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples," look at this, "if anyone," how many? "If anyone desires to come after me," what do you got to do? "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Anyone. Jesus was doing more than just offering Matthew an amazing gift. Jesus was calling him to a life of surrender, absolute surrender. Now, it would be necessary for Matthew to leave his current life behind and for him to follow Jesus wherever he leads. And if Matthew had not been willing, hear me, church, if Matthew had not been willing, he would not have been qualified to be a disciple for Jesus. Did you hear me? And Jesus looked at Matthew and he said, "Follow me." It was an unexpected invitation. And once the offer's been made, though, Matthew's got a choice to make, doesn't he? So you see, this morning, there's not just an invitation that Jesus gives, but the second part that I want us to see this morning is there is a proper response to the invitation that Jesus gives. There's a proper response, which would automatically tell you, without me saying it, if there's a proper one, there's an improper one. But I want us to focus on the positive this morning because that's what my wife told me to do. So I want to focus on the proper response. See, when Jesus calls you, you will have to decide how you will respond to him. You do not have the option to be neutral. You and I, we have to choose whether to accept or to reject. And Matthew chose to accept Jesus' invitation. And I pray this morning that you have or will do the exact same thing. But I want us to see a couple of things, how Matthew responds, and that was proper, and maybe see how some of that should mimic what we should do to have the proper response. And the first thing I want us to understand is, you and I, just like Matthew, we should willingly follow Jesus. Willingly follow Jesus. Now you see, there's a proper, which means there's a reversal of that. You can do that in your own mind. You don't need me to spread it out. Matthew was set up, understand, with this super nice, cushy government job. Everything was fine. Everything was good. He had job security. Matthew, by all accounts, was making a good living. He had a home, most likely a family. I mean, I know the whole Chosen series pictures it a little differently. But now Jesus has shown up and Jesus has invited him to follow him. Look, there is no way that Matthew, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, could have known exactly what that would have meant at that moment. He didn't know how far they were going to go. He didn't know how long they would be away. In fact, Matthew didn't know the risks or the troubles that they were about to be facing. He just knew that he trusted in this man Jesus. There was something about him. And he had a desire deep inside of himself to follow him. So Matthew, literally, widowy, put his life in Jesus' hands. Walked away from everything and followed this man. That is exactly what he calls every single one of us to do. When Jesus calls, we must be willing to give it all away and follow him. Friends, God still expects you to follow him. He's at work around you, and he has a work for you to do. And that work may be right here in your own backyard. Regardless of the location, that's not the point of the message. Understand, he has a plan and a purpose because he is God. And if we seek to obey him, we must respond in the exact same manner as Matthew did. We've got to be willing to turn away from whatever's cushy and comfortable or what we have come to know and follow. And not only should we be willing, but the second aspect of this is that we should publicly confess Jesus. Welcome to the anti-cancel culture. Welcome to the, if it offends somebody, don't do it, don't say it. Nope. Can you see this morning that Matthew was not ashamed of Jesus Christ? He had no intentions of being a secret follower, a secret disciple. As a matter of fact, he decides, you know what, I'm going to make this as big, as open, as public as possible. I'm going to throw a feast in my house, and I'm going to invite my friends to come eat fried chicken, and Jesus is going to be the guest of honor. I want them to meet this dude. I want them to hear about him, and I want to be able to tell my story of how my life is about to completely change. Look, Matthew gathered a lot of those corrupt tax collectors together. Why? To introduce them to Jesus. Now, he also invited some other friends. He invited some neighbors, some acquaintances. All come, say, hey, I'm having this big old party at my house. I want you to come. Can you see he hadn't even been a disciple long, and he's already doing the work of an evangelist. Friends, when you and I really meet Jesus, that just seems to come naturally. When the Savior radically transforms your life and my life, we want to share him with those that are closest to us. The way that we live our lives, my friends, should point people not toward us or to the church, but to the Savior. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:16. He said, look, let your light the one emanating from your life, so shine before men, so it ought to be turned on and ought to be shining, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, not you. Humanity is the only living organism. When you pat it on the back, its head swells. Friends, if you and I are seeking to respond correctly to the invitation that Jesus gives to us, we must willingly follow Jesus. We must publicly confess Jesus. Now, there is a third aspect to the proper response that I believe is in Matthew's obvious story that I want to make sure we see, and that is that we should faithfully serve Jesus. Now, you can see how these things obviously match up for a graduate message, but can you see this morning there is a greater casted audience for this? We should faithfully serve Jesus. Because, friends, from all accounts, from that day on, Matthew followed Jesus and faithfully served him. He was with the Savior for maybe a little over 3 years, and he traveled with him all through the region, and he heard Jesus teach, and he saw Jesus work all of these miracles. He was ultimately then commissioned as an apostle. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because of Matthew that we have one of the most comprehensive accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ today, the book of Matthew. See, he remained with Jesus throughout his time on earth. He was there at the resurrection, my friend. He was there at the ascension. He was present in the upper room when Pentecost took place. Matthew, my friend, served the Lord and Savior for the rest of his days, not just while he was watching. It is actually believed that he eventually died a martyr's death. See, this was a man who was sold out to serve Jesus. He received an invitation to follow. And that's exactly what he did. And that's the call that's on our lives today. That is the call that's on our lives. Every single one of us, pastor included. As a matter of fact, if I can't get it through me, I ought not say it to you. So I'm going to invite the pastor's wife to come up here this morning. Join me on the platform. Because I do try my dead level best to practice what I preach. I want to share with my church family the opportunity to kind of fill you in on some things that the Lord has kind of been doing in our hearts. As it pertains to our ministry and the call that God has on our lives. You know, we answered God's call to be here January of 2007. Was when we started. We uprooted our then very, very young family, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, to join this amazing group. And I want to be very clear this morning, First Baptist Lithia Springs, you have been so supportive through my growth as a student pastor, as your senior pastor, as a preacher, as a leader in this church family. And look, we had kind of a rough start. We started doing things a little bit different. And we've kind of gotten the kind of that's our image around the community, is we do things a little bit different. Look, we experimented. Some of y'all need to take a trip back with me 16 years. We've done some experimentation, and we weren't even a chemistry class. We experimented with some worship stuff, multiple worship services, different times, different locations. And you guys loved us through it. We grew through that. We grew and learned some things through our small group ministries, our Sunday school classes, multiple times, multiple locations. Mike Senior leading at the helm. It's been some fun times. It's been some encouraging times, been some challenging and frustrating times, but it all comes with it, right? And as a church, I will say you have helped me to become a teaching pastor that is able to lead by participating in worship. But also understand, in this call, you've also challenged me. Some of you, you know who you are, I'm not going to call your name, you have challenged me to be mindful of the past of this church and of this community. And this church has a rich legacy of some amazing lead pastors. I had the opportunity to have Marion Beaver as my greatest mentor and cheerleader for a good while. For Dr. Bob to have that shadow, and on occasion, like, Kev, not sure I'd have done it that way. I know. It's a great legacy of long-time leading pastors. Some of you are guests here. You've been coming for a while. And when I tell you that those two men served in this capacity over 20 years apiece, that is not normal. It's not. But even under the, I'll dare say, shadow of the legacy of these two men, this amazing family allowed me, because of my call, to chart a course toward God's desires for our church family in a unique kind of way. And for that, I will be forever thankful. You know, over the last almost 15 years as your senior pastor, you have stood with me, even picked me up and encouraged me at times. As we faced some less than ideal challenges as a church family. And because of that, we have successfully grown through some unfortunate moments that started with the worst of the worst, a church split. Listen, that history isn't lost on me. Something that forced us to re-examine who we are as a church in this community. Redefine and relook at who we are. And you've done that. And we have to do it almost every day. We've gone through some personnel and some staff changes over the years. Some of those we celebrated, some of those we really celebrated. I'll let you decide which. Some of them hurt. But together we have loved through the losses of family and friends. Some of them physically left. And some of them we stood over a grave together and prayed about. We've lost some people. But we've loved together through those moments, haven't we? Because God called us to do that. For a little bit of time now, we've been praying about how the Lord would continue to use us here at Lithia Springs. What's His vision for us and the call specifically? And after a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of tears and guidance, I'm here to tell you this morning that God has begun to reveal to us it's time for a transition. A little while back, I was approached by the Polk Carrollson Baptist Association. To prayerfully consider coming to serve those pastors and those 60 churches that are a part of those two counties as their new associational mission strategist. I want you to hear my heart. This church has been the most loving family, the most supportive, and bless God, the most fun. And the most forgiving body of believers, and I'm standing here, God is my witness, that we could have ever asked or prayed or hoped or served with. We love you. So it's with a whole lot of conversation and a whole lot of prayer with Christy and a whole lot of time alone seeking the Lord myself that we have determined, we, that God has indeed used all of the leadership building moments that I have been able to experience in up to this point in my ministry. It's really because of you that I'm even a pastor worthy of being looked at, to be allowed the opportunity to take all of what this loving church family has invested into me and give me the awesome opportunity to share that with these pastors and these churches in the Polk Carrollson Association. Look, so many of the blessings that you personally helped to teach me about pastoral ministry are the very same blessings and the very same lessons that I will now be able to share with those brothers. Now look, as we stand here, our prayer is that you will, maybe not right here, right now, but at some point, join us in responding by faith to the things that we believe God is doing, that God is calling. I wrote that message not knowing that this would be the ending part of it. This is not the takeaway that was originally designed. But I hope, man, I hope, church, that you know how much we absolutely love the people of this church family. We have seen God bring this congregation into some truly amazing places of ministry and outreach into this community. I mean, look around. This is different than when we first got here. I didn't expect this. I'm going to be honest with you. But I do welcome it because I believe the Lord is completely behind it. And as always, and as I just sort of shared yet again, it's kind of been the mantra, I simply want to be wherever He's leading me or calling me. Now, I had some very, very tear-filled, emotional conversations over the last 2 days with my second family. This phenomenal church staff, I ain't even looking over there. Earlier this morning, I sat down with another group of amazing people, my personnel committee, and I shared what you just heard. Now, I would imagine for some of you, this is not it, but for a few of you, your next logical question is, okay, so what's next, Kev? What's next? Well, I'm going to tell you what I told the personnel committee, and then we'll just leave it at that. I shared that I am willing, and what I shared with Polk Carrollson is that I am willing to stay in my current role through the end of July to help. I told Polk Carrollson that I would not be fully available there until August 1st, and they were okay with that. I want to work with our current church leadership. I want to help prepare for the next transition of leadership. I'm going to go ahead and call him out, Brother Jason. He's sitting right over here to my right, your left. He's the leader of the West Metro Baptist Association. If you're not really sure what the job looks like, it's a job just like his, just down the street a little bit. And I had to loop Jason in really early since he was one of the guys that I needed to kind of look at and get some prayer support with. He's already assured me of his intentional efforts to help our church continue pressing forward with the ministry and missions into this community and to assist in every single way possible in leading this church in finding its next senior pastor. But for now, I want to do my best to assist this church family through this time of transition until the Lord indicates otherwise. That's always been my the call was until the Lord says something else. And you know that. And I know there's still some questions that you have that I haven't answered for some of you. And please know that I'm going to be glad to discuss those with you, hopefully to help you see God's direction in this decision. But in the meantime, we're just asking you, look, can you just join us in simply trusting the Lord? Now, it was kind of a surprise to me when Christy sort of mentioned the other day, look, I think I'd like to share. So I'm gonna give the First Lady a few moments to kind of share how this church family has been such a blessing to her as a pastor's wife, but also as a mom.
And I won't be ad-libbing. I'm going to have to read. So bear with me as I read through what I prepared. As Kevin and I were beginning to work through the process of praying about this transition, honestly, my first thought was about the impact that Lithia has had on my family. You all know the quickest way to a woman's heart is when you love her husband and her children. I asked Kevin if I could also share today. From the first day that we walked into this building, you have loved us and supported us completely. You allowed a young pastor's wife and mother to be the support for her husband and children as she saw fit. There were no preconceived positions that I was expected to serve in. No judgment for what I was or was not gifted to do. You encouraged me to put my husband and children first, and even encouraged Kevin to support us above his obligations here at this church. You have allowed both of us to grow along with you here in ministry and in life. You have allowed us to make mistakes while lovingly and gently supporting us through them. You have gotten behind Kevin and followed his leadership in so many ways, no matter what the idea was. You have loved and encouraged us unyieldingly throughout the years. You have taught us so much in ministry, in marriage. And how to raise a family. When we first accepted the call to serve at Lithia, Riley was 5, about to enter kindergarten, and Cameron was 3. You allowed our children to be normal kids. You have loved and taught them with no extra expectations, actually with an extra measure of patience and grace instead. So many of you have personally poured into our children in so many different ways. You have taught them in Sunday school or VBS. You've allowed them to have leadership roles in youth, leading in Bible studies or singing. You gave them opportunities to sing in our worship services, to serve on our tech team. You've tutored them in math. You've corrected them lovingly and told them to be gentle with their parents' hearts. You financially supported them every time they had a fundraiser, at birthdays, through graduations, or wanted to serve in missions. You have been the listening ear and the shoulder to cry on for them when our family has experienced loss and major change. I know they are growing into the adults that God has designed them to be because of your investment into their lives throughout our time here. You have been there for us as a family as we've grown and changed. When Mom, Daddy, and Corey joined us, you went above and beyond to make them feel welcome. You took them in as your own and loved and supported them just like you did with the original four of us. Through the loss of both Daddy and my brother, you prayed us through, sent such sweet words our way, and constantly checked in to make sure that we were doing okay. Then, when we were given the blessing of another kiddo in the McCoy house with the addition of Darius, you supported us there as well. No questions asked, you helped with clothing, with a bed, with groceries. Your prayers, gifts, and blessings of support were truly the love of God displayed in the flesh. There is no way that just words on a paper could convey our indebtedness to you. We have been nothing but blessed by your love, patience, grace, generosity, and mentoring over these last 16 years. You are a part of who we were, who we are, and who we will become in the Lord. We thank you so much for your investment into each of us. As we follow the Lord in these next steps in ministry, we will take you with us in our prayers, in our growth, in our children, in the way we minister to others. We ask that you continue to pray for each of us as we faithfully follow and serve the Lord.
She did way better than I did. Look, we firmly believe, church, that this still can and should be a very exciting time for this church family. God is obviously doing something unexpected, but new, and that's okay. And this church family, hear me from my pastor's heart, has a great opportunity to make this transition well in a way that honors Jesus and that makes us all stronger on the other side of it. But if that's to happen, we need to understand that the enemy's going to try and work against us. And we fully believe, my friends, we fully believe that the Lord will be faithful. He's going to reveal this God-sized plan for this church and for this family as we all move forward here. It has been our incredible privilege to be a part of this family. You've allowed me to grow alongside you in ministry. You've supported my leadership and faithfully followed, even when there were, like she said, some pretty wild ideas. And God has used your encouragement, your support, and your faithfulness through those years to prepare me to confidently continue to follow His calling. Listen, we're not moving away. So we'll still see you in the grocery store when we're out to eat. We're not moving. And our hope is, and our prayer is that you will continue to be a part of our lives, because without a doubt, you are certainly an important part of ours. As I said earlier in the message part, when Jesus calls us, we have to decide to respond to Him. There is no opportunity to be neutral. So we got to choose to accept or reject. It's always been our hope, our prayer, and our decision wherever He leads, I'll go. I've always taught, I've always preached that accepting and following His call always brings us into a closer walk with Him. I just want to simply thank Jesus for the opportunity to have been here. The way He orchestrates, knows things, He is truly sovereign. But I want to thank you, this incredible church family, for the amazing opportunity it has been to lead and to serve with you. Now again, I've asked Brother Jason to be here this morning to pray for us, for you guys. So I'm going to ask him to come and to lead us in a prayer this morning. And so that you also have a face for the guy who's going to help transition all of us into the next step of that calling. So he's going to lead us in prayer, and I just super appreciate this, brother. And again, we're not running out the door. We're going to be here even today, and I know you got a lot of questions, but we've seen some tough days, but I'm going to tell you something. In love, today's one of the toughest, because we're not mad. I promise you. This is the complete opposite. If I were mad, I'd just say it and get. And y'all know it. But this is family. So I'm not leaving. But we're just branching out a little bit. Thank you, brother.
I was taken back to 6.5 years ago when I had to do this in front of my church family in much the same way. And this is not an easy day for them, and so we certainly want to pray for them, but I know this is not an easy day for you either. It feels like the end of something, but the thing that I know about our great God is that he is always about working for his glory and our good, and it has been the practice of our great God since the early church to send people out. In Acts 13, we read that the Holy Spirit told the people who were gathered together in worship, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them out. And so my hope for you as a church family, as we pray over this family, is that you see this not as the breaking of something or the ending of something, but the sending out, the blessing of furthering the ministry to which God has called him as he is faithful to obey that call. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Lord, in many respects, our hearts are heavy. There is sadness. But Lord, we also celebrate, Lord, the response of Kevin and Christy and their family, Lord, to be faithful to the call to which you have called them. Lord, I want to thank you for the 16 years that you have given them to serve among this family of faith, the 16 years of ministry and growth and change. Lord, the way that you have shaped them as a couple, them as followers of Christ, and the way that you have shaped this church family through that relationship. Lord, we thank you for that. We are grateful for how you have glorified yourself in and through this church family and in and through Kevin and Christy. Lord, we are so blessed by them. And Lord, now as they are obeying you and following you and being faithful to you, Lord God, would you be glorified in them? Would you, Lord, in fact, bless and multiply their ministry? And Lord, I pray the same thing for this church family, that you would bless and multiply the ministry that is here. Lord, as they are able, through Kevin, to bless the churches in Polk Harrelson, but also, Lord, as they see what you're going to do in the future and look forward to, Lord, new leadership and how you are going to minister among them and use them to reach this community. Lord, we thank you and look forward in eager expectation to see you glorified and you working for our good. We love you. We praise you. We thank you so much that we can trust you even in times of difficulty, in times of transition. Lord, we know that you are on the throne. And so, Lord, we praise you this morning. And we look to you, the one who holds our hope, Lord, the one who calls us to be faithful. May we commit together as this church family to be faithful to your call. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Is there more, or are we good? All right, you are dismissed. I believe Kevin and Christy are back out in the lobby.